Well, we are in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, the last chapter of this book, nearing the end of our study here in the book of 1 Corinthians, this last chapter, Paul shares some much-needed truths before he closes out this letter. And we have began looking at verses 13 and 14 last time. And we see here some divine directives for godly living. Divine directives for godly living. Here are some exhortations, and they come to us in the form of rapid-fire commands, just one after the other, and we are to live these truths out in our life. They are foundational. Foundational characteristics that we have to build into our lives, that we need to be growing in and practicing in our lives and living out, that we might truly live for Christ, that we might honor Christ, that we might be effective for Christ in this world. And that is the goal of the Christian life, is it not? I fully believe if you're here today and you're saved, that is what you want in your life. You want to be living for Christ. You want to be more effective for Christ. You want to stand before Him on that great day, having been found faithful. If that's going to happen, then we have to go after Him now. There's nothing that should consume our lives. There's nothing that should burn in our lives more than our desire for Christ. To honor Him and go after Him and obey Him and follow Him and serve Him and glorify Him in our lives. And these are not suggestions, these commands. They're not recommendations. They are commands of our Lord and God. And they're given in military fashion as a commander to his troops. This is our solemn calling. This is our solemn responsibility before Christ, before God. We must live out these truths. We have to take them to heart. We have to understand these things. We have to grow in these things. We have to flesh them out and live them in our lives, or we will not be effective for Christ. We will not live in a manner that glorifies Him. We won't live the true Christian life without living these things. And so they are of absolute necessity in our life as Christians. Let's look at them once again. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Let's pray. Father, again we pause to humble ourselves as we have opened Your Word, read Your Word, aware of how desperately we need You. God, longing for You to come down. Whatever is hindering Your Spirit in me, in any of us, God, remove that. Help us to see that, confess that, repent of that, flee from that. And let Your Spirit have great freedom to move and work. Enable me to preach as I ought. And beyond that, O God, take the Word into our heart and may it have Your perfect will in us accomplished. God, save those who are lost. Bring them under conviction of sin and reveal Your holiness to them, their great need for Christ, their sin. Move them to repentance. Move them to saving faith in You. Save those who are lost. God, any who are in deception about salvation, bring them out of deception. If there be any here who are not truly born again, their lives not changed by the power of Christ, not truly indwelt by Your Spirit, move them out of such deception. God, bring them to true repentance, true saving faith, true transformation. Those who are Yours, God, I pray that You would just convict us with Your Word. Speak to us. Let it, God, root sin out of us. Reveal the things in our life that are not as they ought to be before You. And God, let it bring us to a place of greater faith and greater obedience and greater service to Christ, greater faithfulness to Christ, greater usefulness to You in this world. God, we need You to do what only You can do. And so, Father, help us in this time. And when it's all said and done, may Christ have His rightful place in our hearts, in our lives. And so help us, Father, today. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Five divine directives that we need to live out and practice in our life if we will live for Him. If we will honor Christ. If we're going to be effective for Christ, then we must practice these truths. Now, we looked at the first one last time. Let me just remind us of it before we move on, and then we'll move on to the second. But first of all, we are called to watch. Verse 13 begins with one word, one command, watch. If we're going to live for Christ, honor Christ, be effective for Christ, then we must watch. And it is a command to be awake. It is to be alert, and it's speaking spiritually. To be awake spiritually, alert spiritually. It has the idea of being discerning as to what is going on in your life, what is going on in your family, what is going on in the lives of those around you, in your community, in your nation, in your world, in the church. What is going on spiritually? How is God working? How is the devil working? Are you able to discern what's really going on in your life and the lives of those around you? We have to be watchful. We have to be on guard. We have to be at the ready. This is military language. And I shared last time, it speaks of a soldier who has his battle gear on. He has his weapon drawn. He is looking down the sights and he is ready to engage. That's how we're to be living the Christian life. We must be living in this manner. We are a soldier of Christ. We're in a battle. We're in a battle of all battles. We're in the war of all wars. The victory has already been won by Christ, but for now that battle is still raging in our lives, in our church, in our nation, in the lives of those around us, and we are to be at the ready. This battle demands our all. There's nothing that matters more than this. There's nothing that matters more than this. To truly be saved, to know beyond any doubt that you are born again, to truly be born again, to be a child of the living God, to be His own, to be washed in the blood of the Lord, washed in His blood, forgiven of sin and cleansed of sin and placed into Christ. To be truly saved and born again, to know that you are a child of God and the Spirit of God living in you, nothing matters more than that. And then nothing matters more if you are a child of God than giving everything to Him. Living for the things that are eternal, being conformed in the image of Christ, growing in the knowledge of the Word, less and less of you and more of Christ until there's nothing left of you. And all that's left is Christ. That is the desire that is in the heart of every true believer, to be made like Him, useful to Him, growing in Him, faithful to Him. Nothing matters more than this calling that Christ has placed on our life. Eternity is hanging in the balance. Eternal destinies, the souls of those around us are hanging in the balance. The church and its faithfulness to Christ, and whether or not we truly live to honor Him and glorify Him, and we are faithful to spread the light of Christ and the gospel of Christ, all of that is hanging in the balance every moment of our life, right here, right now. And so we must be watching. We have to be alert. We have to be at the ready. You have to watch. We talked about that means being truly saved and immersed in the Scripture. You have to be truly saved if you're going to watch. If you're not truly saved, the Spirit of God's not in you. You don't have any spiritual discernment at all. You have to have the Spirit of God in you to have the knowledge of the Word and the discernment of the Lord to be able to look at everything around you and be able to discern spiritually what's really going on. And so, are you saved? That's number one. If you're going to watch, you have to be saved. And then secondly, you have to be immersed in the Scripture. You have to be seeking God. You have to be seeking His Word. You have to be repenting of sin daily. You have to be going after Christ and pleading with Christ to put you to death and to fill you with the Spirit and to make you like Christ and use you effectively in this world. You have to be immersed in the Scripture. You have to be saturated in the Word. And so is that your life? Are you truly saved? And then if you are truly saved, Are you going after God daily? Are you putting off the flesh daily? Are you seeking the God of the Word in the Word? And are you dying to self and being conformed to the image of Christ? Are you going after God and after His will in your life? Are you filling yourself and being transformed with Scripture that you might watch and discern? See everything going on in your life, in this world around you, spiritually, through the lens of Scripture, through the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. We must watch. And sadly, most people don't live this way. Many are spiritually asleep. Many are complacent. Many are undiscerning. Many are worldly. Many have drifted from the eternal things and the true spiritual battle that's going on into worldly things, and they've been lulled to sleep and seduced by the devil to surrender themselves to the temporal, to the earthly, to the worldly. Many have been lulled to sleep by Satan and are even consumed with the things of the world, and that's where they live. It's all earthly. They're focused on the world. They're focused on the here and now. They're not discerning spiritually what's going on in their life. They're not discerning that they've been lulled to sleep. They're not discerning that their fire for Christ has wavered. They're not discerning they're not really going after Christ and the things of Christ. They've been consumed with the world. They've been seduced. You'll never live for Christ that way. You have to watch. You have to be able to discern when you're drifting, when your heart's getting hard and callous, when you're focused worldly instead of on the things of God. You have to discern. And you won't unless you're saved. And you won't unless you're immersed in the Scripture. Every failure in the Christian life is a failure to watch. There's not a failure that we have that wasn't a failure to be spiritually alert and discerning. And so we have to watch. We have to be alert. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled into wasting your life on things that are temporal. Do not be fooled and seduced by the devil to squander away the true calling of Christ upon your life, to give yourself to earthly things that will burn up and mean nothing on the day of eternity when we stand before Him. Watch. Watch. Be armored up. Be alert and at the ready. Have your sword, your weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God drawn and ready to engage the slightest moment anything is coming against you that is not of God. And be out there reaching others with that weapon, with the gospel for Christ. So watch. We looked at that last time. Let's move on. There's a second command here. Not only are we to watch, but secondly, we are called to stand fast. Verse 13 goes on to say, stand fast in the faith. Not only are we to watch, be spiritually alert and discerning regarding all things and what's really going on and what really matters, but also we are to stand fast. And these words, stand fast, speak of standing firm, being immovable, persevering, enduring, persisting. It speaks of something that is settled. Something that is fixed, something that is firm, something that is constant, something that is not able to be moved from its place, something that does not waver. And again, it is military language, and it was used to speak of a soldier keeping his post. A soldier who is keeping his ground, standing his ground against the enemy. A soldier who is in the heat of the battle, in the fierceness of the battle, and yet he is standing firm. He is not moving. He's holding his ground. That is the calling here. We are called to stand fast in the faith. Be fixed. Be settled. Established. Persevering, enduring in the truth of the Word of God, and do not let anything move you. Stand fast in the faith. This is not speaking of the faith that we place in Christ as Savior and Lord. This is speaking of the faith, as it says in the book of Jude, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's speaking of the whole of Scripture. This is the faith. This is the faith that has been delivered to the saints. This is what we are to guard. Paul called Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. It is the Word of God, the revelation of God. It is the truth of Scripture, the teachings, the doctrines contained in the pages of Scripture. Now, that's what we're to be standing in. Stand upon the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Grow in the Word of God. Stand upon that Word and do not be moved from the Word of God. You are in a battle. You're engaged in warfare daily. Things are coming at you. And if you're not realizing that, it's because you've been lulled to sleep and you're not discerning spiritually. Because if you are awake spiritually and filled with the Word of God, you would see that battle coming at you nonstop. You would see it waging and raging in the lives of those around you, in your own family. You see it raging in the church. You see it raging in our nation. You would be alert to those things. And the calling here is not only to discern, but to watch, stand your ground, stand upon the Word of God, and do not be moved from it. There is no retreat. There is no backing down. You hold your ground. Stand fast. It is much the same as we saw back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. It's the same command. God has brought us to the knowledge of truth. Amen. If you're here today, you're saved. God has brought you to understand the Word of the living God. He's brought you to understand the gospel of Christ. He has brought you to understand the truths of Scripture, to be growing in the truths of Scripture, to know this God is real, to know Christ is real, to know that nothing matters more than the gospel, to know that everything hinges on the Word of the living God. You know that, you believe that, and you're to stand there. You're to grow in that Word, know that Word, be established in that Word, and not let anything move you from that truth. Those words, stand fast, just one word in the Greek, stako. Kind of sounds like steak. Not the steak we eat, but the steak that we hammer down into the ground. That's the picture. It speaks of a stake that you would hammer down into the ground to anchor something. It's drilling out a hole in the foundation of bedrock and hammering a stake down in there as an anchor so that no matter what comes, it cannot be moved. And that is the calling here. The calling here is nail your feet to the truth of the Scripture. And don't let anything move you from that. The calling is anchor your heart, anchor your soul, anchor your life, your entire being into the truth of the Word of God, and don't let anything move you from that truth, because so much in this world, almost everything in this world, is trying to move you from the Word of God and seduce you into deception. And so we are to stand on the truth of the Word of God and not be moved. We see much the same command. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, which says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. It's the same command. Nail your feet there to the ground. Stake your feet in the ground into the bedrock of truth. And don't let anything move you. The traditions that have been handed down to you from the apostles, the things that we have spoken to you, either by word or by letter, the things we've written to you in the Word of God, you build your life there and you stand there and you don't let anything move you from there. You remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when He tears down all the lies and the falsehoods and all the false teachings that have crept in and watering of the truth down, and He lifts it all back up. And at the end, when He is blown their minds and He has taught them like no one has ever taught them and spoken with authority like no one has ever spoken. Chapter 7, verse 24 of Matthew, He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. That's the picture. Jesus is teaching the exact same thing. You're either going to nail your feet down and your life down to the Word of God. and be established there and not moved. And if so, your life will stand anything that comes against it. You'll be ushered into eternity in the presence of God through the blood of Christ to live with Him forever and ever. But if you're the foolish man and all you do is hear the Word and hear the Word and hear the Word and you do not do the Word, you do not obey the Word, you don't take it into your heart, you don't live it out and flesh it out in your life, then you're going to be tested one day and your life will be destroyed. I tell you, this means everything, doesn't it? If we're going to live for Christ in this world, if we're going to stand for Christ and honor Christ, if we will be effective for Him, fulfill His divine calling, then we have to know the Word. We have to be established in the Word. We have to be growing in the Word of truth. We have to know the Word of God. This needs to be our food and drink. It is our life. It is our soul. It is our sustenance. It is our nourishment. It is greater riches than everything the world has to offer, the Word of the living God. And we're to know it and grow in it, be established in it, and not ever be moved from it. Now, let me give us some areas where this has to be fleshed out and lived out. If we're going to stand fast in the faith, again, I have to go back to the fact that we must be in the faith. You can't stand in something that you're not in. And I know that is basic truth, but nonetheless, it is essential. You cannot stand fast in the faith if you are not yourself in the faith. And to be in the faith is to be in Christ Jesus. It is to be saved. It is to be born again. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Now that is a command. We are to examine ourselves. We're to make careful, humble, biblical examination of our lives, of our faith, of our Christianity. We are to test ourselves. We are to hold our lives and the way we live from the inside out up against the Scripture, the Word of the living God, and examine whether we're truly saved. And we're to do that regularly. I told you last Sunday, I don't take it for granted that anyone is saved. I don't take it for granted that I am saved. Now, I believe that I'm saved and I examine myself, but I tell you, you want me to get real honest? There's days, there's times in my life when I say, oh God, am I really saved? Am I really? Are you really in me? Am I really being changed? And if you don't step back and do that, then you're a fool. You're foolish. You better examine yourself. And you better examine yourself in light of the Word and not just your feelings. What does God say? What does your life flesh out? Does your life line up and hold true to the Word? Or is it lacking? It's a biblical fact that many people who think they're saved are not. That's a biblical truth. The Bible teaches us that most people who believe they're saved are lost. That ought to make us tremble. That ought to make us take this verse to heart, that we examine ourselves and make sure that we are truly in the faith, that we are saved. Matthew 7, that same chapter, Jesus said many are going to come to Him in that last day. They're going to call on Him. They're going to call Him Lord. They're going to say to Him all these wonderful things they did, and He's going to look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. How many are going to do that? We don't know, but He says many. Not few. Many. Luke 13 says the same thing. Many will seek to enter. They'll be outside beating on the door, pleading that they could come in, but they will not be able. They will be thrust out. They will be cast into hell. And so I warn us here, biblically, make sure you're saved. Make sure you've come to the knowledge of true repentance. Make sure you've come to true saving faith. Make sure this isn't just something you believe in your mind, but this is something God has worked down in your heart and soul, and it has a hold of you, and it's not letting you go, and it continues to work you over and make you more and more like Christ, and it won't let go of you. You better make sure your salvation is the real thing. It's impossible to stand fast in the faith if you're not in the faith. Have you come to understand your sin? And step back and ask yourself that. Have you come to understand that God is holy? Has that truth begin to grow in your heart and you know that this God of Scripture is real, this God is true, that the Bible's true, that everything God has spoken is real, this God exists, that there's a heaven, there's a hell, and that He is holy, and yet you look at your own life and the power of God has moved you to a place of utter conviction? That you see that you're a sinner, that you have sinned against a holy God, that you have disobeyed God and gone your own way, and you are heading down a path for destruction. Has the Spirit of God drove that into your heart and soul? Have you truly come to understand that? And in understanding that, has the Holy Spirit of God then brought you to see the love of God poured out in Christ? Seeing yourself as a sinner and on your way to hell, you also see Christ and He's dying there on the cross, and you know He's the Son of God. You know that on that cross He's the Holy One, and yet He is taking your sin. He is taking your judgment. He's taking the wrath of God due you in an eternity in hell, and He is paying the price in full. That's what He's done. Has that been driven down into your heart, that I'm a sinner on my way to hell, but Christ has made the way? He has taken my sin. He's paid the price in full. And seeing that, has God moved you to a place of brokenness over your sin, to godly sorrow, to repentance wrought by God, that you see your sin as wicked and evil and wanting nothing to do with it, and you abandon that sin and you turn to Christ and you put all your hope and all your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone to save you? Has that ever happened in your life? Are you saved? Have you abandoned all hope in self and run from your sin to Jesus Christ to put your faith in Him to make you right with God, to cleanse you, to forgive you, to reconcile you? Are you saved? And if you're saved, are you changed by the power of God? Does your life bear evidence? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those aren't just some spiritual words written down on paper. That's truth. Anyone who's truly saved knows that to be a reality in their life. They're not the same as they once were. They used to be able to sin and get away with it. They don't anymore. As a matter of fact, their relationship with sin has completely changed. They now hate it. And they're seeking to get out from under it and flee from it and run to Christ. Their relationship with God has completely changed. The God they once spurned, the God they once didn't have any regard for, they now love and they tremble before and they revere and they want to go after Him and obey Him and seek to please Him. Is that real in your life? Is God changing you? Is God still to this day rooting sin out of you? Is He still to this day convicting you of sin? Or do you think sin was something you dealt with long ago? Or is sin something you're still dealing with every day and warring over and fleeing from and pursuing Christ? Is that the reality of your life? Do you have a hunger for God? To know this God? The God who saved you? The God who gave His own Son to make the way for you? Do you have a true desire to know Him? Do you seek Him in the Word? Do you go after Him in the Word? Are you seeking to put yourself to death and be made like Christ? And are you growing in Christ? Are you growing in the knowledge of the truth? Are you growing in your obedience to God? Are you growing more and more into who God has called you to be? I think so often we come to this place of faith and putting our faith in Jesus, and we're tempted just to drift to the side and settle into this lull, this rut, and we just sit comfortably there. And then after years go by, we haven't really grown in Christ. We're not striving after Christ. We're not made more like Christ, and it might be because we're lost. We're not even saved. That could be the case. If you're not being changed and made more holy, then you are not saved. You're not saved. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You look at your life, you've never come to true repentance. You've never come to abandon sin and flee from sin. You've never come to run after Christ and put your faith in Christ and call on Him to save you. And that's where God has you. He's showing you that He's real. He's showing you you've sinned against Him. He's breaking you in that sin. He's showing you that Jesus is your only hope, and He's moving your heart to turn from sin, abandon that for Christ, and call on Him to save you. And that's what you need to do today. You need to lay everything down at His feet and call on Him as Savior and Lord. Maybe you thought you were saved long ago. Made a decision long ago to repent, put your faith in Jesus. You said the prayer, you were baptized, your name's on the church roll. But as you examine your heart before God and you examine your heart in light of the truth of Scripture and what it means to really be saved, you don't see that in your life. There's not real conviction of sin in your life. There's not real desire for Christ in your life. You don't see yourself progressing more and more toward Christ. And you just settled in this rut where, yeah, you did that a long time ago and there's no real change today. Well, then you need to confess that to God and come and be truly saved. You need to come out of that deception and be honest with God and say, God, I don't know that I've ever truly been saved, but I need to be, and run to Him and put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord. Don't take one more step in your life without making sure you're right with Jesus Christ. Don't take one more step without making sure you're truly been placed in Christ, reconciled to God, that you're a child of the living God. That's the first thing. You cannot stand in the faith if you're not in the faith. And nothing's more important than that. Secondly, if we're going to stand in the faith, we have to live the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. This is everywhere. But this passage specifically, 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. This is a calling to live the faith. To live the Word of God, to hold to the Word of God, to bring your life and everything in you from the inside out into obedience to the Word, into submission to the Word of God, to be going after the Word, holding the Word, keeping the Word, living the Word of God. Hold fast that pattern of sound doctrine, sound words which you have heard from me. Paul is talking about all the truth that he had poured out into Timothy. You hold fast to that. That good thing committed to you, the Word of God, true doctrine, the Scripture, you keep that by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. We must be living the faith. Living the faith. And that's what the Christian life is all about. What is Christianity? What does it mean to be a Christian? It is to be placed into Christ. And it is to be then conformed into the image of Christ more and more. That's what Christianity is. See, rather or not, you're in the faith. It's something where God takes you from out of the faith and sin and deception and worldliness out from that and places you into the faith, into Christ Jesus Himself. You're now placed into Christ. And when that happens, there's a transformation in the heart. There's a change in the mind. There's a change in your nature. You can't sin anymore. You can't continue down that path. And you do struggle. You do continue to fail with sin. The things you don't want to do, you end up doing. The things you want to do, that you see yourself failing to do. And yet you have this relationship with sin where you hate it and you despise it. And you look back on your life and you see yourself fleeing from it more and more and more. Coming out from under it more and more and more. And pursuing Christ. It's to be in Christ. And the guttural cry and the passionate desire of every Christian is, oh God, put me to death and make me like your Son. Is that the deepest guttural cry of your heart and soul? God, make me like Christ. God, keep putting sin to death in me. Keep making me like your Son. Less and less of me and more of you. Less and less of me, God, and more of you. Until there's nothing left of me. And all that's left is you. That's what the Christian life is all about. Is there rooted in your heart and soul a true holy desire to be conformed into the very likeness of Christ? Is there a desire to be freed more and more from sin and made more and more holy? Is that what you're pursuing in your life? Is that the desire of your soul? Does that burn in you? Does that well up in you? Does that take hold of you? Does that rule over you? Does that consume you? Those who are saved have a genuine and growing desire to be more like Christ. It's something we grow in. It's something that takes hold of us more and more and more. And to be steadfast in the faith is to be living the faith. It's to know the Word. It's to be growing in that Word, and it is to be being conformed into that Word. We can't just be hearers of the Word. We have to be doers of the Word. We have to be steadfast in the faith. Now, this is one of the marks, not the only mark, but one of the marks of true saving faith. And I'm just turning over to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Let me turn there and look at it with me. See the Word of God. 1 John 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6. 1 John 2, verse 3, "For by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." How do you know that you're truly a Christian? You keep His commandments. The Word of God is your life, and you want to obey it. Do you obey it perfectly? No. But are you growing in it? Yes. Are you obeying it more and more? Yes. Yeah, you keep the Word of God. You keep His commandments. Verse 4, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So God just drew a line right there and says, this is how you really know. This is how you examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. If you're in the faith, you keep His commandments. If you say that you know Jesus, but you're not growing and keeping the commandments, then you're a liar and the truth's not in you. You're deceived and you're not in the faith. You're on one side or the other. Verse 5, "But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Again, by this we know that we're in Him." The love of God, love for God. How do you know somebody is in Christ? They love God. How do you know they love God? They go after God. They keep His commandments. And when you got somebody going after God and striving to keep His commandments, you've got somebody whom the love of God is perfected in. God has wrought that there. God has birthed that there. God has placed that love for Him in them, and that's why they go after Him. It's wrought by God. God's the one doing it. God's seeing to it. The danger is to deceive ourselves into thinking that because we hear the Word and we sit under the Word and we know the Word in our mind, that all is well. I know that. I believe that. And we can hear the Word and be under the Word, be under the preaching and teaching of the truth, and we can know it more and more and more in our mind and be absolutely lost. More and more deceived. And that's what we're warned of in James 2. Be not hearers only, but be doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word, or else you're just deceiving yourself. And so we have to be doing the Word, and that's how you know that you're saved. So the Word of God, if you're standing fast in the faith, is something that you're pursuing. It's something that you're living. It's something you're growing in. It's something you're putting into practice. It's something you're taking into your mind, your heart, your soul, your being. It's something you're operating your life according to. It's not something that you did at one time. You believed it. It's not something you just hear and you know. It's something that you're fleshing out and living in your life. And so are you saved, and are you growing in your love and your obedience to God and His Word? And is your all-consuming passion to be made more like Him, more and more like Christ? And so to stand fast in the faith is to live the faith. Thirdly, to stand fast in the faith is to share the faith. To share the faith. Turn with me over to Philippians. Philippians 2. I'll go to Philippians 1, verse 27. Philippians, but chapter 1, verse 27. And notice what he says here. And he's speaking to the church, writing to the church. He's encouraging the church, exhorting that church, pleading with the church. Verse 27 of chapter 1. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Did you get a hold of that? It's everything we've just been saying. Are you truly saved? Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, are you growing in Christ? Less and less of you, more and more of Him. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that, here's what He's after, here's the aim, whether I come and see you or am absent, either way, whether I'm there or I'm gone, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, meaning judgment, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. This is what it means to have conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ. And it just means to be living in a manner worthy of such a God, such a Savior, such a gospel, such a salvation. It means to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. We're all striving together, one heart, one accord, one mind, one focus, one goal, one all-consuming passion, Christ, the gospel of Christ. It is to stand for Christ, to take the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, not in any way afraid of those who would despise you or come against you or persecute you or set themselves against you. He makes the comment here, the truth. He lays this out that it has been granted to us on behalf of Christ. It has been gifted to us by God on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And so, in other words, if you're a true believer and God has given you the grace to repent of sin and put your faith in Jesus, the gift to believe on Him, with that gifting also came the gift to suffer for Him. And that's a gift. It's a gift to suffer for His name's sake. This is part of what it means to stand fast in the faith. To endure suffering for His name. To endure suffering because we're all one heart, one mind, and we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're on mission for Christ in this world. And we're suffering because of it. Now, somehow we've allowed ourselves to be deceived into believing the lie that we should sit passively and do nothing while the world dies and plunges further and further into the flames of hell. Somehow we've drifted into believing that if we're going to see someone saved, then we just have to sit back and kind of back off and we need to make sure that we don't offend them. Is that true? Isn't that how we lean? We just need to back off. Boy, don't push them any further away. We need to make sure you don't offend them. And so we back off and we pray for them, but we do not go after them. We don't engage them with the truth. We don't challenge them with the gospel. We don't really get into the nitty-gritty of who God is and their sin and their need for Christ and what Christ has done. We don't want to get them upset. We don't want to offend them and push them further away. And so we will sit and do nothing. Maybe we will pray for them, but all the while we're disobeying God because we're refusing to take the gospel to them. And that is the only thing that will save them. It's the only thing that's going to save them. I would challenge you with this. You can never push someone further away from God than they already are if they're lost. If they're lost, they're already condemned. They're enemies of God. They continue to sin daily, and in that sin, they're storing up wrath. More and more wrath for the day of wrath to be unleashed upon their head. And yet we'll sit back and say, well, by golly, don't go offend them. Don't go get them upset. Don't stir them up. You can't push them any further away if they're lost. But you can let them sit there lost and die in their sins and go to hell. And secondly, most of those around us who are lost are bound in that deception. Many people, and you know this, they believe they're fine right where they are. I mean, I believe in God. Someone will say, I believe in God. And I'm just as good as the next guy. I'm just as good as all those people going to church and sitting on the pew. By golly, if there is a heaven, and surely I'll go there if anybody's going there. And they're in spiritual deception. They don't know the truth. They've been deceived. And the only thing that is going to bring them out of that deception is if somebody loves them enough and is bold enough and brave, be brave enough to go to them with the gospel no matter what the cost. No matter what comes back on you. The gospel offends. The gospel upsets people. The darkness hates the light. That's just the reality of it. And we have to know that. You know, you look at the Apostle Paul, and we'd all take him as an example of someone who loved Christ and laid everything down for Christ, right? Somebody who we could follow after and walk in the path of Christ, see what it means to live for Christ, walk after and walk into obedience to preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel. And yet you look at his life, and what did he do? He was unstoppable for Christ. What did he do? He went everywhere preaching the gospel. What happened when he preached the gospel? Well, some would be saved. And he would pour the truth into them. He'd keep preaching the gospel, and after just a little bit more time, what happened? All those who didn't believe hated him. And they despised him. And they came against him. And most of the places that Paul went to, he was beat and left for dead. He was run out of town, stoned, all these things beaten with... He had the living daylights beat out of him for preaching the gospel. And yet we sit back and think, well, by golly, don't go offend anybody. I don't want to really get into the nitty-gritty of the truth of God and their sin and God's holiness and them needing to repent and put their faith in Christ, because they might really get upset and it might ruin our relationship. Really. Really. If we're not willing to take the gospel to them, and by that I don't mean just have a God conversation. I don't just mean invite them to church. I mean share the gospel with them. If you're not willing to go to those who are lost around you and take the gospel, talk about God, how God is holy, how God is high and lifted up and pure and a God of wrath and a God of judgment, and how we have sinned against God and we have rebelled against God and we're heading for destruction, condemnation, guilt, wrath getting ready to be poured out on us. And yet point to Jesus and the love of God, that He died for us, that our sin laid on Him. He took our sin. He took our judgment. He took the wrath of God that we deserve to face in hell. He paid the price in full. He's our only hope, that you have to repent of your sin, abandon your sin, abandon your life for Christ, put your faith in Christ, or you will die and spend eternity in hell. Turn to Him and be saved. That's the gospel. And that's the only thing that'll set people free out of their sin. That's the only thing that'll bring them out of their bondage and their deception. And yet we will sit complacent month after month, year after year, and that person will sit there edging closer and closer into the fires of hell, because no one will love them enough to take that gospel to them and risk offending them or upsetting them or taking the flack for it. Church, I'm speaking truth. What's keeping many of those lost all around us, bound in their sin and deception, is simply that no one is willing to pay the price to take that gospel to them. And that's often why people will sit there lost. Yes, they can hear that gospel, and they can harden their heart, and they can rebel against it. But often people sit there lost year after year because no one is taking that truth to their heart. We'll step back and pray, but by golly, we're not going to go offend them. We're not going to risk it. And we have to risk it. You're not going to push them any further. You might upset them. And that them getting upset and riled up may be very well because the power of God's convicting them and they know what you're speaking is true. And so that will come. That's just part of it. But I can tell you with certainty, if we are not sharing the gospel with the lost around us, then we are not standing fast in the faith. It is to know the Word, it is to believe the Word, it is to be passionately sharing the Word, pleading with others to be saved. And that means pursuing the lost, pursuing them. You know what we need to do? We need to go after every single person in our lives who are lost. That's what we need to do. There's cards on that table that hardly anyone ever fills out. You know anybody that's lost? Got any family members that's lost? Fill out this card. We'll go visit them. You know what we ought to do is sit down this afternoon and write down every person in our life, our family, our workplace that is lost. Stack up all those cards and get after it. Or they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Somebody's got to take the gospel to them. I'll go. You give me their name, I'll go knock on their door. How about you? We need to get after it. We need to go and share the gospel with them, or they will not be saved. And this is what it means to be steadfast in the faith. You know, we might be ridiculed. We might be called all kinds of things. We might upset some people. They might not tell us. They might tell us they don't want to see us. Don't come over anymore. But at least we've obeyed God. And God might open that door back up. And God in due time might take that seed and water it and give it growth and bring them to true saving faith. But I guarantee you, if we don't share the gospel, they'll die lost. The gospel is the only thing that will save. And so I want to ask you, who is in your family? Who is in your life? Who's in your workplace? Who is in your sphere of influence that's lost? That's lost. And if you're saved, are you taking the gospel to them? Listen, you're God's means to take the gospel to them. It's you. That's why God has you there in their life. That's why you know them. That's why you have the communication, the fellowship, the connection with them that you do, so that you can take that gospel to them. We can't live in fear. We have to live in faith. And we need to soak all that in prayer, but we have to put feet to those prayers and go after them. Fourthly, to stand fast in the faith means to defend the faith. To defend the faith. In the book of Jude, and we'll just look at this briefly and close, but Jude is right before Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Right before Revelation, Jude. Just one chapter, just verses there. Verses 3 and 4. And he says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation..." That was his intent. He wanted to just write about salvation and Christ and the blood that he shed and all the blessings we have in salvation. That's what he wanted to write about. Verse 3, the middle of the verse, "I found it necessary." That's what I wanted to do, but I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you noticed there's a battle for the truth going on in our world? It's going on in the lives of those all around us. It's what's going on in the lives of our family members that are lost. Every person that we see who is lost, it's a battle for the truth. They've been bound in deception. Many have already been deceived into thinking there is no absolute truth. That's the ardor of the day. Oh, nobody can be sure. There's no absolute truth. You can believe what you want. I'll believe what I want. You stay over there. I'll stay over here. And many others are deceived into perverting the Word of God. Maybe they say, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible, but they pervert it. They twist it to their own harm, to their own destruction. They say they believe it, but then they live their lives in direct opposition to the Word. And that's the warning here. That is the warning right here. Certain men. Matter of fact, there are men, notice, who have been marked out by God from long ago. God already warned us of these men. He warned us of them all through the Old Testament. He's warned us of them all through the New Testament. Men who would come in, notice, they'd come in unnoticed. They'll slip into Christianity. They'll slip into the church. They'll slip in as ministers. They'll slip in as preachers. They'll slip in as professing believers, professing faith in Christ, professing to follow Jesus. And yet, notice, they turn the grace of God into lewdness. They take the grace of God that's poured out through Christ and that He died for our sins to save us, and they pervert that into lewdness, literally into a license to sin. Into a license, well, you know, Jesus paid it all, so I can go out and just pile it up. It's all in Him, and so I can go out and live in sin, because as long as I'm in Him, I'm going to be saved. He's already done it all. As long as I got faith in Him, I can go live in sin And they pervert the grace of God. Because the grace of God that saves us sanctifies us. Did you get that? It not only saves us, but it also puts the Spirit of God in us. Gives us a new relationship to sin, a new relationship to Christ. It energizes us to go after Christ. It changes us, enables us to pursue holiness. And when you got someone that says they've experienced the grace of God and they're saved, but they're not being made holy, they're not saved. They're not saved at all. Because there's no salvation without the transforming power of God. Well, the last part of verse 4 says, they deny our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And they might not ever say that with their lips. Oh yeah, I deny Jesus. I deny God. I deny the Bible. I don't believe any of that. No, they'll say the exact opposite. I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But the way they live their life is denying Christ. Their actions, their life, speaking much louder than their words. They are those revealed in Titus 1:16. They profess to know God, but in works, the way they live, they deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. You know, you can ask Jesus to save you 1,000 times and go straight to hell. You can be baptized 1,000,000,000 times if you're able to and have that much time in your life and still die and go straight to hell. You have to be born again. You have to be regenerated. You have to be changed by the power of God. That's what happens at salvation. And God's warning us, there's a many who have come in. I've told you about them from long ago. They're going to slip into Christianity and they're going to say they know me, but they're not going to live like they do. And they're going to pervert the grace of God that saves souls into a license to sin. And what are we to do? Sit back? Let it happen? Nothing? Do nothing? What do you say? What is the exhortation? Exhorting you to what? Speak to me, church. I'll keep you here. You'll have to start going out one by one. No, I'm teasing a little bit. What's he tell us to do? Verse 3. Did you turn there? Jude 3 and 4? Jude verse 3. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly. That speaks of a life-threatening battle. Everything is hinging on this. This isn't just, well, okay, let's do a little boxing match. This means you're fighting for what means everything. As if somebody's fighting for their very life. What kind of fight do they throw up when somebody's having to fight for their life? They'll kick and scream and scratch and crawl, and they'll do everything they can possibly do for their life. This is speaking of intense, agonizing battle, of fighting for the truth and not letting up no matter how fierce the battle, sweating, toiling, striving, enduring, getting after it, going after it, giving it every last drop of energy, all that you have, laying it all on the line. That's what we're to be doing for the truth, for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In a day when people are resisting the Word of God more and more, in a day when they are trying to discredit the Word of God, reject the Word of God, in a day when many within the church are falling away from the truth of God, ashamed of the truth of God, we are called to stand fast and not be moved. You pick up the sword of the Spirit and you contend earnestly for the faith that has once been for all delivered to the saints. You fight for it. You agonize. You sweat. You toil. You lay down your life's blood, if need be, for the faith. In the grace of God, you'd be willing to die for this truth. You know, that's how they lived. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. If any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. And do what? Take up his cross. What's that? Death march. You better be willing to die to follow me. That's the call. And we can do that in the grace of God. We don't boast of that, but if it comes to that and you're his, he'll give you the grace to die for him. you know, whether it be just in natural death, he'll give you the grace through that. Or if it be through persecution and rejection and hatred, he'll give you grace in that if you be in him. Stand fast in the faith. Make sure you're in the faith. Make sure you're saved. Live that faith. Proclaim that faith. Defend that faith. So much more could be said. This is absolutely crucial. We're soldiers. We're soldiers of Christ. Our Lord is coming. He's coming to gather his own. He's coming to wage war with the lost world. He's coming to destroy this place and then restore it and reign and rule over it for 1,000 years with those who are his. And he's left us here to stand for him, to be armored up. Ephesians 6, the very armor of God, armored up to have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to nail our feet there, to stand there, to not be moved from there, to endure there, to go after a lost and dying world, to wield that sword. Listen, you go to that person that's so lost and bound in sin that you're so afraid of offending, you go to them and you, in love and grace, with much prayer, take the sword and knock everything out from underneath them that they're clinging to. Every deception they're holding on to, every lie of the devil they're clinging to, you take the word of God and you knock every one of those lies and deceptions down and leave them with nothing to cling to but Christ and him alone. That's what you're called to do. And that's the only thing that'll save. And this is what it means to stand for Christ. This is how we're to live. This is how we're to operate our lives. And we must, if we're going to be effective for Christ and honor him. Well, let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. I want to ask you as we bow this morning, get ready to pray, get ready to have a hymn of invitation. Number one, are you saved? It's okay to look back to that moment you called on Christ and put your faith in him and maybe followed in baptism and all these things. That's good. But even since then, even right now today, in the past weeks, months, years, have you continued to grow in Christ? Have you grown in your knowledge of how important it is to live for him and live for the things of eternity? Has that consumed you all the more? Or have you drifted further and further away that, yeah, I did that long ago, and now you're just in a rut of callousness and complacency and there's no real fire? Then you need to examine yourself. You may be lost. The reason all that may have burned out is because it was never really burning. And you lasted for a time and drifted away. And that was the case, that is the case for many of us at times in our life. We were saved and thought we were saved anyway, and then later on came to know we weren't and were truly born again, and everything changed and we haven't been the same. And so maybe long ago you made a profession of faith, but it's not genuine, it's not real, it's not transforming you. These things you hear talked about from the Word that accompany true salvation, you don't really experience. And you need to be saved. And I just challenge you that if that's you, don't worry about what anybody thinks. Only worry about what God thinks and come to him. If you are here today, you've never been saved. You never really come to put your faith in Jesus. Never come to repent of sin and put your faith in him. Call on him to save you. Then I want to plead with you to do that today. You need him to save you. And only he can save you. And you need to turn from your sin and just surrender your life there to Christ. Abandon all hope in you and anything else and put all your hope in Jesus and call on him to save you. Trust him to save you. If you're here today and you're a believer and you know you're saved, you know you're growing, then probably like me, you know the callousness that can creep in, the worldliness, you know the lack of fire and blazing. You know you're saved, you know there's been change, but you're not really growing. Not really going after God, and the zeal and the fire you once had isn't there, and you need revival in your heart, then come. Come and just acknowledge that. Be real and honest with God. God, I'm not growing like I ought to. My heart's become hard, and I need to have that fire rekindled and I need to go after you. God, forgive me for where I am and help me get back to where you've called me to be. Then you come. Maybe you haven't been taking the gospel to those around you. And like many of us, even me as a preacher, I can drift into that and just let them sit there and not really be going after it and getting with it and taking the gospel there. And maybe you've been lied to and I don't want to offend them and I don't want to push them further away. And all the while you're disobeying God and not taking the gospel to them. Risk it all. Take the gospel to them, knowing it's the only thing that'll save them. Saturate that in prayer. Saturate that with all the love and grace that God will give you. But you take that sword, that truth, to their heart and cut out everything that's a lie and a deception. Go to them. I tell you, we pray that way. We begin to live that way. I believe God will begin to save those around us, bring in a harvest of souls. Father, we bow before you. We need you. I know these are hard truths. They come right at me, come right in my own heart and life. I need these truths. I believe each of us here need these truths. God, we need you. We need your spirit. We need revival. We need repentance in our life. Some need saving of their soul. They need to repent and come to Christ. Some of us just need to repent of apathy and worldliness and the lack of zeal and fire that's been in us and come and get right with you and get busy about the true work and seeking you and standing fast and being watchful. Help us today, God. Help us to be obedient to what you have spoken. Help us to take these things into our heart right now, right here in this place. Help us to obey you. Whatever it is, Father, have your will, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.